on the menu is that Restaurant August in New Orleans, talking to one of my great heroes, Chef John Besh. Hello, John.
Hi, it's great to see you. I'm glad to have you all here in New Orleans.
Listeners, he's so cute, and he's won just about every award imaginable. The new best, the top table, everything. Is this amazing to you?
We really have been blessed, and especially given what the city has been through this this past year, and the past year and a half for that matter, that I feel just terribly fortunate. And but if somebody has to be in these shoes, I'm glad I am.
Now, you are what I call Bayou born. I think this is a huge blessing. I mean, you know food, this food, inside out and backwards, growing up in the bayous, fishing, hunting, right?
Yeah, it's a terribly exciting place to grow up and learn about food and discover all these different cultural influences that we have in Louisiana that makes our food special to us. And it's something that I'm very passionate at seeing that we continue to not just see the evolution, but to see that we continue to play upon these roots that we've been left with.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, because you don't just replicate old Cajun and Creole recipes. You're trained. You went to CIA. You apprenticed in Germany and top restaurants in France. So you know what you're doing, and you're doing something a little bit different from just roots.
Right. Well, what I want to do now is what we're doing at Restaurant August, per se, is just taking these classical elements of what I've been trained to do and then the down-home flavors of what I grew up with, and merging those into a more contemporary style of Louisiana cooking.
Now, you have really done so many things and continue to do so many things for charitable causes. Now, why do you have this feeling of giving back, which you clearly have?
I tell you, the day after the storm, or actually really was the day after the storm, and realizing that we did not lose everything that we've worked so hard for here, being this restaurant, that I feel compelled to do whatever I can for the community. And so we're focusing predominantly on community-based charities here in New Orleans where we can really make an impact. And I think it's just the right thing to do, and it's something that we all believe strongly in. If we help others, then it'll all come back to us in the end. And that's just, I think, the humane thing to do.
Now, I made a note here saying you had a charmed life, but I left out that little bit where your career was interrupted by active duty in Desert Storm. How did that happen?
Well, you've done your homework. I had this wild hair and decided to enlist in the Marine Corps after high school, and did so with a couple of my our managers here. We all did this after high school and ran off, joined the Marines. After that, I stayed in reserves in order to help pay for culinary school. Uncle Sam decided to call me back and employ my skills in the Desert Storm War, where I was a Ford Observer, where I called in airstrikes and artillery fire on different enemy positions.
They didn't use your talent for cooking?
Oh, no, I didn't tell them I was a cook. I escaped out of any and all KP duty ever in the Marines.
And this was obviously before you had four children.
Right. No children, no wife then. And actually, my wife and I were good friends, became pen pals because of the war, and married her when I came home.
Now, listeners, this is a man who is so laid back in a sense, but he has four boys. Aged what?
11. Well, let's see. Brendan's 11. Jack is 6. Luke is 4. And Andrew, which we call Drew, is just 2 years old.
I mean, in this crazy profession, I don't know how you do this, John.
No, I have a saint for a wife. She's taking care of me.
I started out talking to you, Chef John Besh, about how you were certainly my hero and many other people's heroes. You've brought a lot of resources to the survival of New Orleans post-Katrina. Could you bring us up to date as to where the city is, the restaurant scene is, and what's going to happen next.
Well, I am happy to say that I think the city is moving in very much of a positive direction. There's 791 restaurants in the metro area open today, and that they wouldn't be here if we didn't have the ability to support the population that was here, nor would they be here if we didn't have the workers to do so. I think that we still have some things to work on, obviously. The recovery effort is... there are a number of snags, which... too many to really even go into any detail on.
But bogged down might be an appropriate term.
It is bogged down. And the biggest problem right now is insurance money, and that whether you're a worker, whether you're a restaurant owner or what have you, just a homeowner out in the suburbs, it's difficult to find the funds to move back and to replace your home. And so with that being said, and that it'll just be a long road to hoe. I think that we know what we need to do. It's just a matter of getting there and receiving the support in order to do so.
Now, your suppliers are mainly back, I understand. I mean, like the shrimp and oysters.
Oh, yeah. The local seafood is better today and more plentiful today than it's ever been since I've been a chef.
Why is that?
Because it's this natural phenomenon, whenever you have the influx of all the salt water coming from the depths of the Gulf of Mexico into our marshes and swamplands, it has a cleansing effect. It cleanses some of the old stagnant waters we've had here for a while, and it's nature's way of really cleaning up itself. And unfortunately, humanity gets caught in the crossfire. With that being said, we're having issues now with, we have a lack of shrimpers out there, and so the shrimp are more plentiful, so it's great for the ones that can actually get out there. Those that have been able to restore their boats, the docks that have been able to restore themselves are reaping huge rewards right now. Oysters are the saltiest that they've been in years, and the prognosis for Louisiana fisheries is great.
Now, I guess personnel, just human bodies across the board, there's a shortage of people and service and everything.
Well, I can only speak for ourselves, and we had 65 employees prior to Katrina. We reopened with 5 of us. From that 5, we've grown our company back into another 68 employees again. And so we're back on track and actually have surpassed where we were prior to the storm. And so I look at that as hope, because we're actually situated in an area here that we have no residential dining traffic whatsoever. We're a destination. You have to drive here from Uptown or Metairie or from the North Shore to dine here, or you're staying in one of the local hotels and you're dining. And
now, I mean, there are still areas that are not reclaimed, but may never be reclaimed. Is that true?
Well, I think there's areas right now that there has to be we need to make hard decisions about whether it's worth the investment of reclaiming these areas, and who's going to police these areas, what fire support do we have, what infrastructure can we really support. And so I guess those are left to people with a higher pay grade than mine, and so I just worry about keeping my restaurants afloat and making our customers happy.
Now, did Leah reopen Dookie Chase? I mean, the issue was that a lot of the older folk with local family-run businesses might not be able to, but she was always optimistic. Did she reopen?
Well, she's about a month and a half away from opening. Just around the corner from her is Willie Mae Seton Scotch House, which will open in 3 weeks and counting.
John, this is your flagship, the Restaurant August. You also have 2 other restaurants?
Yes, the Best Steakhouse, which is about a block away in Harris Casino, and then I have La Provence Restaurant in Lacombe, Louisiana, just across the street from, across the lake from New Orleans. Both of them are dear to me. La Provence was a place I had worked as a kid, dined as a child, and later my first chef de cuisine job that I had ever had. And the owner, Chris Caragiorgio, and I go way back. He was a friend, mentor, grandfather to my children. And he just passed away, and I wanted to make sure that we didn't let that restaurant just fall by the wayside. So prior to him passing, I purchased the restaurant, and now we have it closed for a minor renovation, just a little sprucing up and repainting and reflooring of the restaurant, along with adding a 2-acre farm to the back half of our property, which is we all raised organic raised vegetable beds. We'll have Berkshire pigs. We have right now some boar goats and some Australian laying hens. So we will just feature these in all of our restaurants that we
Now, I never even read that. That's very exciting. Aren't you excited about that?
Oh, yeah. I'm thrilled to death. Matter of fact, today, just before you came, we were putting up fences. We're working on repairing old fences and putting up new ones. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about your style of cooking. I read where you were actually even more conscious of the quality of and local produce since Katrina, because you realized how many people needed to survive.
Right, and I thought initially after, I guess I need to answer this in two answers. First answer is, due to necessity, I had to work more closely with our local farmers than ever before. Dealing less with middlemen and just directly with farmers, ranchers, different livestock suppliers here within about a 90-mile radius of New Orleans.
And isn't that exciting, though?
Oh, no, and it is. That is very exciting. And second of all, we needed to really depend on each other, because if I did not support those farmers, they could not stay in business, and there's no way that a year down the road that I would still be able, you know, that I would be able to purchase all these great ingredients that we have. Some of them we've built such strong relationships with that we go with them in purchasing the seed. We are very specific about what we want grown, what heirloom variety of this or that that will require. And it's a learning process for both of us. We're really from all the farmers and us. That it's a lot of fun really bringing and emphasizing the, from the farm to the table.
Yeah, I mean, this is the most exciting thing I've seen in food in all these many years I've been involved with it. Do you have a brief summary of how would you describe your style? And then I want to talk to you about specific dishes.
I think a style is derived from those experiences that I've had in life, and most of that has been European training. In particular, I made an apprenticeship in southern Germany, and so that influenced a lot of my cooking, whereas everything that I had cooked at the Comete Hotel Spielberg all came from this one valley, the Munster Valley, in the high mountains of the Black Forest. Now, how does that pertain to here? It really influenced how I source ingredients and how we treat them. We treat them with utter simplicity in order to receive the benefit from doing so. Two, I've spent 2 years in Provence and Bagnols-sur-Cèze in particular, and have really become quite acquainted with the just that laissez-faire style of the French and the simplistic cooking of Provence in particular. And that really correlates, you know, the correlation between the styles of the Bouches-du-Rhône, the southern Rhone Valley, and that of the southern Mississippi Valley are just wild. From the rice fields to the river, the salt marsh estuaries, both of them really teem with the same styles of cooking, the same same simplistic nature of the people.
See, you're so smart. I mean, that's why I love talking to you about these things. Can you just give us a couple of signature dishes before we finish?
Yes, you could say like our gnocchi, our potato gnocchi, made with local potatoes, tossed with local crab meat. And that would be one dish. And another dish right now would be our Belle River crawfish flambé.
Thanks, John. I'll see you in Charleston.
Well, y'all enjoy your dinner, and if we can do anything special ever, just let us know.